proud of them. John chapter 12, I'll stop there. So John chapter 12. Let's begin at verse 20, and we'll work ourselves down to verse 26 and pray. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answering them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Father, I ask that you would help us today to see Jesus. Help us to catch a glimpse of what this passage is teaching us and how we might exemplify your Son in our lives. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these Greeks come and they say, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Tell me something you know about the fact that the Bible says these are Greek people. So what are we talking about here? Tell me something you know about them. If they're Greek, then they are not saved, probably, people. If they're Greek, then they are not Jews. They're outsiders. They don't belong in this meeting. The Jewish people have separated themselves from the Greek people, and you know they anyone who's not a Jew in the Jewish tradition are dogs. You know, they're just not worthy of anything really, of any care and concern. And yet these Greek people come, and this is kind of the beginning of where we really clearly understand that God so loved the world, you know, and how Jesus is going to respond to these Greek people coming and say, Sirs, we would see Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. And I want to really show you Jesus' response and Jesus' answer, what it is, how you and I to this day, because I believe that there's someone in your life right now that you work with, go to school with, someone that's a neighbor or a friend, maybe a family member, who is saying to you and I, hey, we'd like to see Jesus. And they're waiting for you and I to show them what Jesus looks like. And that's really what I want to really focus on this. And Jesus is the one that gives us the answer here. So the first question we're going to ask is who? Who is it that we ought to show Jesus to? And the first one, I'm just going to use the passage. It's the Greeks, the unsaved, as Jason was pointing out. Anyone you know that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, can I point this out to you as clearly as I know how? Well, let me use the scripture. Go down to verse 32, I think it is. Let me show you in verse 32. Jesus is talking. He says, And I, if I be lifted up, what will he do? I will draw all men unto me. There are people in our lives who are just wanting to see that this Christianity that we claim, that this Savior that we say that has changed our lives is worth their time and effort in getting to know. And the way that's going to happen is for you and I to lift up Jesus Christ. So there are unsaved people who just need for you and I to show them Jesus. There are people in our lives who are living in constant fear. And they need to be shown by us a God whose perfect love casteth out what? All fear. There are people in our lives who are hurting because of circumstances that have taken place, because of things that have happened, whether it's because someone has mistreated them or whether it's because life has just been difficult for them, they've gotten some bad news, their health issues, whatever, and they're hurting. And they need for you and I to show them the great physician, the healer. They need for you and I to lift up Christ in such a way that there's hope being given to them. There are people in our lives who become bitter and angry. And you know, they're like, you know them. They're like, they're seething right under the surface. You kind of tiptoe around them because, you know, you're afraid that at any moment they might explode. And you know what they need from us? They do not need for you and I to scold them about their bad attitude. They need for you and I to lift up Jesus Christ, to show them a God who can make a difference to a bitter heart. Can I point this out? What happens when people who are looking to us to see Jesus see us bitter and angry? What happens to people who are looking to us to see Jesus and they see us afraid? What happens when we are saying we have a Savior who can do all of these wonderful things and they're not seeing it happen in our lives? Sirs, we would see Jesus. That's what they're saying. And there are people in all of our lives that need desperately to know that, you know, there are lonely people. There are people, how about this one? I wrote these down because I knew I'd forget some of them. There are people who are trapped in the lives that they've built for themselves. It could be drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it might be that's kind of trapped them into their lives. The sin has gotten such a hold, and they don't have any hope of being able to get out of this. And they're looking to the one person in their life that claims to know Jesus. And in their heart, they're saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. Show me a God who is greater than my sin. And when what they are seeing in our lives is a God who is weak and anemic because we ourselves are bitter and angry and hurting and lonely and trapped in our own sin, and we're not showing them the Savior. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Same passage of Scripture, Jesus says this. Jesus is going to give us the answer, the how-to of reaching out to these people. Do you know there are people in our church who are Christian people who are struggling to live the Christian life that we preach about, that we teach about in children's church and vacation Bible school and Sunday school, that we talk about publicly, that we stand up and give testimony about, and they're looking to us saying, show me how to live for Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And the question is, when they look at us, are they seeing Jesus? Well, how do I make that happen? Well, Jesus answers the question. Go on, if you would, let's go back to what we just read. They come to Jesus, or in verse 22, Philip tells Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And Jesus says, here's how this works. If you want to show those people in your life a Savior who can make a difference in their life, here's how it looks. Take a look, if you would, please, at verse 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I struggled for years to figure out how this works. In my mind, a seed that is planted doesn't die, it comes to life, right? In my mind, that was kind of like an oxymoron to me, because if a seed dies, in my thinking, I plant a seed, and if it dies, that means it doesn't do anything. It just lays there in the dirt and kind of rots. But that's not what Jesus is trying to get across here. Here's the point that Jesus is making. The only way that that seed can bear fruit is for that seed to cease to exist. Do you see what happens? The seed dies. It opens up and roots come out and stalks come up and fruit begins to be formed on it. And where's the seed? It's gone. The only way for the seed to bring forth fruit is for the seed to think so little of itself that it says, for the sake of fruit, I will surrender myself. And Jesus says, if you want to show people me, if other people are going to come to you, your life and to mine and say, Pastor John, I want to see Jesus in you, then it starts with me getting Pastor John out of the way. You understand? I must not, it can't be about me. It must be about him. Because if he is lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. And the only way my life is ever going to bring forth fruit is if I am willing to die. If I am willing to surrender. So that I cannot say any longer, I have rights. No. I cannot say any longer, this is what I want. Things must go the way I want them to be so that I can be happy. No, no. The seed enters the ground and must cease to exist, or it can never bring forth fruit. And if you and I are going to bear fruit for the Lord, if we're going to lift up the Lord so that people can see the great God that we have and that we serve, we must be willing to present our lives a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And apart from that, that seed lies in the ground and does not. It stays a seed. It stays a seed, but it brings forth no fruit. For the fruit to come, the seed must die. You got to put yourself aside. It's time when we go out shopping that we stop thinking, I wish this person would get out of my way. I'm going to run into them with my cart. Don't look at me that way. You've had those thoughts. Right? It's time that we stop thinking that and think to ourselves, in this circumstance, how could I exemplify my Savior? In case someone is watching who might need to see Jesus today. The way we are going to have an impact on our families is to quit being one way at church and something totally different at home. Do you understand? As long as that's what we're doing, then our kids are going to, kids are pretty quick. They catch up on this stuff really fast, mom and dad. They do. And they're going to see the hypocrisy, and they're going to think to themselves, if that's all that their God can do, I don't need him in my life. And we've watched parents who are faithful to church raise kids who do not want to give God the time of day. And one possibility, not that it's an absolute, because children are their own person. They have to make up their own mind. You understand? I know that they have their own will. But it's a possibility that the problem is that they see us being one thing at church and something totally different at home. And what they're not seeing is Jesus. And in their soul, they're screaming out, I just want someone to show me a God who is greater than this life. And Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Look at verse 25. Jesus goes on to show us how else we can exemplify and show forth the Savior. He says, he that loveth this life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. To quit getting wrapped up, we live in this world that is so self-focused. Look at all the advertisements that are trying to encourage you to look at yourself, to constantly think about yourself, to do what is important to you, to do what makes you feel good. And it's a constant. We live in a society that's pushing us toward ourself. And that is not the character of our Savior. The character of our Savior is not about me, but about the other person. That's why Jesus literally is lifted up from the earth in John chapter 3 and hung upon a tree, because he surrendered himself. He became obedient even unto death, that you and I might have eternal life. And Jesus said, if you're going to keep living your life like you're the most important thing that there is, then people are going to struggle to see Jesus in you. The Greeks say, sirs, we would see Jesus. And Jesus says to his disciples, here's how it's done. Die. Be that seed that dies in the ground. Here's how it's done. Quit thinking about yourself all the time and think about other people. Love others more than yourself. This is what it looks like to lift up the Savior. question is, who is seeing Jesus in us? Who at school, teenager, is looking saying, I don't know what about them, but there's something unique and different. I see something in them that I don't see in anybody else because I see Jesus in them. You know, who would say about us, you know, I don't really know them that well, but this I know. They remind me of Jesus. Who would say that? It's an amazing thought. And yet this is what Jesus is saying. If you want to do this, you must die to yourself. If you want to do this, you must quit loving yourself. Look at verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus takes them. It's an amazing, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Transition. When they say, Jesus, there's some Greek people here that want to see you. And Jesus says, let me talk to you about seeds and about loving yourself and about serving me. What? Huh? Jesus is teaching his disciples. Here is how they're going to see Jesus. Here is what it means for the world around us to see Jesus in us. It means dying to self. It means loving others more than yourself. And it means ultimately serving me, Jesus says. Get busy serving me. Get busy doing for me. Get busy obeying my word. If any man serve me and follow after me, him does the Father honor. So I want to lift the Lord up in my life. How do I do that, Pastor John? How do I get it to where other people can see what Jesus is doing in my life? Now, let me just make this very practical. Let's go to your job for a minute. Let's go to work with you. Can we just kind of walk into work tomorrow morning? It's Monday morning. We're all going to work at your place. And I'm asking, are the people at work seeing Jesus in you? Let's get to the nitty-gritty of where this happens. Where is it? When in my life am I supposed to go into the ground and die and cease to exist so that I might bear fruit? Well, one of those places is at work. The people at work, whether you realize it or not, are simply looking for somebody to show them Jesus. Everyone that has ever taken a breath understands what it means to need a Savior. What they don't understand is who that Savior is. And they're waiting for God's people to show them the Savior. So here we have this. So we've gone to work with you. Are we showing forth the Lord in the way we're dealing with our coworkers? Are we being honest in the things that we're doing? Or are we kind of encouraging them to lie on the time clock and et cetera, et cetera? Are we laughing at the wrong kinds of jokes and maybe telling the wrong kinds of jokes? Or are we showing them a Savior who is lifted up and alive? Let's go to school for a minute, teenager, young person. Let's go to school, college age. Like no one else on the planet, young people are searching. That's what they're doing. And they're going to find something that gives them some sense of meaning, and they'll latch onto it. And for some, that will be alcohol, drugs, illicit relationships. Or they might meet someone who shows them a Savior that actually makes a difference. It's one thing to say I go to church. It's another thing to show forth Jesus Christ. Do we dare? Can we go home with you this afternoon? When you take your shoes off and you're relaxed and you're just yourself. Does your wife see Jesus in you? When she spent too much money and the bills didn't quite make it, when she forgot to tell you that the sink downstairs was leaking and Now it's all over the floor. Does she see Jesus in you at that moment? And all she is saying is, I just want him to show me Jesus. Ladies, where is the nag in Jesus? Is he seeing Jesus in you, mom, dad? Teenagers, you might have a lost parent, a lost grandparent, and they're looking to see Jesus in you. What are you showing them? Except that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it can never bring forth fruit. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit, and part of that fruit is the lifting up of Jesus Christ, who draws all men unto himself. Wow. Do we dare go one other place? Let's go play for a minute, can we? Let's go to the golf course. Or let's go to the soccer game or the basketball game. Let's stand up in the stands when the referee makes a really bad call against one of our kids. And let's ask this question. Do the people around us, do the people out on the field, see Jesus in us? Because while they may never say it on the outside, the real truth is in their hearts are crying out, I just want someone to show me Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. I just want to know that there's something that can get me out of this mess, that there's someone who is greater than the mess I've made for myself. And they're looking to the one who claims to know, to show them. Except we die. Except we quit loving ourselves and instead love others. Except we serve and follow after him. They're not seeing Jesus. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The old song, you can probably sing it with me and you're welcome to do so. You know, that I saw Jesus in you. Think about the words, listen to it. As I enter heaven's glory and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Now, I want you to think, because someone was this person for you. For me, it kind of sums up to 3 or 4 people. My dad would be one of them. My mom was one later in life, but not quite when I was accepting Christ as my Savior. My youth pastor and a man named Clarence Doyle who ran a camp down in southern Indiana. And lastly, the one guy who led me to Christ, David Dolan, who I only met once. He says this, then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son. And with tears of joy and trembling lips, these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful. And I saw Jesus in you. When we get to heaven, who's going to pull us aside and say, I just want you to know, I'm here because I saw Jesus in you. I'm here because you died and brought forth much fruit. I'm here because you lifted up Jesus Christ in your life and he drew me unto himself. Who will that be for you and I?